All right, everyone. Welcome to Better Law Firm Marketing. Today, I've got Amy Burton Bradley. Now, she's a consulting director and partner at Julian Midwinter and Associates. Now, that's a business development consultancy firm with a focus on the legal industry, and they've been around for around 30 years now. So, essentially, what we're going to be talking about today, it's going to be all about getting more referrals for your law firm. There might be a bit of a focus on sort of how to do that without always being on the hustle and without annoying people. So we'll see how the conversation goes, but that might be basically what we're going to be talking about today. Specifically, it's very important, especially right now, considering the environment we're in with the pandemic. So there'll be some links in the description as well if you want to learn more about Amy and what she does. And before we dive in, please consider checking out the episode notes for some useful links. Obviously, there's the ones there for Amy, but there's also a law firm marketing plan that's free to download at legalsites.com.au. Now, if you want to get some one-on-one time with me, you can apply for a coaching call. And I've also included some affiliate links for products and services that I use. So that means I will get a small payment if you decide to click on them and use them. So if you wanted to build a WordPress website, for example, or host that website or start a podcast or whatever, so there'll be some links there to help you out with that. Now, I've also partnered up with an Australian website called Firm Checker, and they're helping lawyers get more clients online. There'll be a discount code in the description and a link if you want to check out that. And also consider leaving a 5-star review and subscribing on whatever platform you're listening to this. That would help out with the podcast, and it helps out with the algorithm apparently. And please consider, you know, telling anyone about the podcast that might be interested. And if you've got ideas for future episodes, if there are people you want me to chat with, just get in touch with me. And finally, I just want to introduce myself properly. I'm your host, Brennan Kelso, law grad turned law firm marketing specialist, founder of legalsites.com.au, and you're listening to the Better Law Firm Marketing Podcast. And in this podcast, you'll learn how to leverage the most time-efficient law firm marketing strategies to get more leads, more clients, and more profit. Now, that's enough of that. I've got Amy patiently waiting for me. So, Amy, you keen to talk about referrals?
I am. And thanks for having me, Brendan. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. So you've sent me through a kind of like a document with some suggested talking points, which is really, really helpful. And I'd really like to sort of let you just kind of take the reins here. And I'm basically just going to ask you a very simple question. So, like, how can a law firm get more referrals?
Yeah, and I think a good starting point is, you know, why would we want more referrals? And I think all of us know instinctively in services businesses, including law firms, that it's your easiest, lowest cost way to acquire clients. It's a much easier sell when you've been referred in a prospective client because they already perceive perhaps that you're able to help them. So I think what might be a good place to start is if we quickly run through just some of the fundamentals around referrals, because I think that is a helpful way for people to frame their thinking when they're keen to get more of them. So the most essential thing when you're wanting to attract inbound referrals is be worth referring to in the first place. Why would someone refer a client to you? So I think it's tricky with a lot of law firms because a lot of them are not very well differentiated. So it makes it difficult for people to decide if this firm can also do conveyancing as well as your firm, but they're cheaper. Why wouldn't I go with them? Because it's going to cost me less. So I think a thing that we've seen with some of our clients that can be helpful is to really think through what is something that differentiates your firm positively. And it could be a weird little hook. So we were just talking before we started recording, Brendan, about that client that I've got, and he has a small firm and he loves conveyancing, and he also has a line in wills and estates. And, you know, he'd quite happily sit in the office all day just doing his conveyancing files. But as he said to me on occasion, you know, Amy, I recognise that I am a businessman first and a lawyer second, and I know that I've got to go out and do things to attract some of this work. So he's had quite a bit of success because he's also a notary, and he promotes a mobile notary service. So for some of the more commercial work that he's interested in doing with clients, he's been invited to board meetings to help, you know, certify and notarize documents, and that gets him in the room. And then while he's there, he's been referred other matters and things like that. So there might be some other special thing that your firm has. Maybe it's team members can speak another language and you can promote around that. Another client we've got who's up in the Northern Territory, he's more of a business-to-business sort of lawyer. He's basically Mr. Darwin. He's been in the Chamber of Commerce for a number of years and active in other business networks. And he has approached directly firms in other states that are interested in, you know, settling matters and doing things up in the top end. And he acts as their agent. And he's had other referrals through that agent service and also just being very well networked on the ground in Darwin. So they're just sort of a couple of small examples of where you might think about reasons why someone would be inclined to refer to you because you've got something a bit out of the ordinary to offer or a service or a product even that they can't get somewhere else easily, and it will make you stand out.
Yeah, so be someone that stands out and be worth referring to. So I guess some of that would come down to the quality of service that you're providing. So one of the things I recommend people to do is to get a lot of Google reviews, because I know for a fact, I know a lot of solicitors out there, when they need to refer a client elsewhere, some of them will just do a Google search and just pick the law firm with the best reviews.
Absolutely. And, you know, Brendan, we've all got a smartphone in the pocket these days, and it's the quickest way. If you hear perhaps through a colleague or someone in your network, oh, check out, you know, XYZ law firm, it's a quick Google search. And I think that sort of social proof, as it's known in the biz, of the Google reviews can be very compelling, or perhaps a turnoff if you have negative reviews on there. So yeah, the online aspect of your positioning shouldn't be overlooked, particularly at the moment in Australia, where, you know, a lot of the country is in lockdown. So some of those face-to-face type activities firms might normally do as part of their business development and referral work are just not possible at the moment. So yeah, digital is very important. I'm sure we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on networking events? Not that we can really do them at the moment, but what are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, and I was having a look a few years ago now. JMA actually did a study of over 150 law firms, and it was all focused on how they, you know, how they actually acquire referrals. So I think it was about 3% said that, you know, paid business networking events were a good source of referrals. And again, I think this is another instinctual thing that people know. It's usually your current clients who will be your best source of referrals, but there's definitely a place for networking on and offline. So thinking about the situation we're in now with the lockdown and the pandemic that, you know, continues, things like online networking in a low-key way, and that might be depending on your target clients, things like LinkedIn. And again, if you're more of a personal legal services provider, it might be Facebook or Facebook groups, things like that. So I think just because we are locked down with the digital and online tools and social media channels at our disposal, if you haven't already, you do need to pivot to putting some of that activity in the online realm, because it's really not clear at the moment when we will get back to normal and be able to have groups getting together for conferences, drinks, events, et cetera.
Have you heard much about Clubhouse? Everyone was kind of talking about that a few months ago. I haven't heard much about it recently.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lady I follow who does copywriting stuff has a guide on Clubhouse. I'm not too familiar with it, I have to say. But again, I think if we get back to basics, with whether it's a referral network you're wanting to build or, you know, an actual, you know, list of target clients. In your world, for your services, where do your clients hang out online and, you know, offline? But if we're talking about online, Clubhouse might be just the thing for the types of clients you want to reach. If you're more of a business-to-business sort of firm, LinkedIn is probably the most valuable one because you'll be getting other lawyers looking there. But for your, you know, consumer personal legal services, probably things like Facebook, potentially Clubhouse. And I think Clubhouse might be good. Is it more, Brendan, about it's sort of a almost like a party line. It's like a live chat. So if you were maybe wanting to give a live presentation with some interaction, that would Clubhouse might be the go.
Yeah, it could be. Honestly, I've barely looked into it. It's just thought I don't have time for another thing. So I've...
It's like Snapchat, you know, that was all the rage. And I think it's a bit like TikTok. Someone else I was talking to who's in the IT space was saying they think some of these newer social media channels, they do have a certain shelf life. And I think Snapchat is potentially on the wane and, you know, TikTok is on the rise. But yeah, I think, again, if you get back to the basics, the fundamentals, where are the referral sources that you want to engage with and keep your profile high with? Where are they likely to hang out online? And it might be Twitter. Although, as someone else said to me recently, Twitter is more journalists and politicians, and it's good for things like breaking news. And I think you probably do need to have a Twitter presence, but it's probably not a great source of direct referrals online for most law firms.
No, probably not. And yeah, not so popular in Australia. Much bigger in America.
Yes.
And I've never really used much Snapchat, but I think it sort of can appeal to people who are maybe up to no good, because I think the photos that you send on Snapchat don't they disappear forever once they're viewed once?
So, short shelf life.
Yeah, I'll just leave that out there. But Snapchat's maybe a little bit dodgy. Facebook groups, I wouldn't mind talking quickly about that. That has been mentioned before on the podcast. Like, do you have any advice? Because it seems like it could be very challenging to kind of navigate that, because you don't want to be that a pain in the ass who goes into a Facebook group and then just annoys everyone and you know, links your website on every, you know, post. And I feel like that's a good way to get deleted from a group. So how would you navigate that?
That's it. And I think first things first, if you are going to pursue Facebook, say Facebook and maybe even run a group, and you can have a LinkedIn group as well, you need to have some ground rules in place. And I know a lot of lawyers do get nervous, you know, this is not legal advice. You need to have, I guess, some parameters around that. And like anything, whether it's getting more referrals or running a Facebook group, you know, what is the purpose of the activity we're doing here? Why are we doing it? How will we know it's working? And it's important, if we're going to do an activity, it needs to be somewhat deliberate. And look, I think with Facebook, if I may say it this way, you do perhaps get more of the crackpot element. So I think the other thing for smaller firms is resourcing something like that. Just say you're running a group, and who's going to moderate the comments? Because obviously online it's 24/7. So you maybe don't want to be connected with something that's blowing up on your group. Full-on Facebook presence may not be right for every firm. And I think the other thing we were talking about earlier as well, Brendan, before we started recording, was we've all been, I think, subject to those really cringy direct messages, whether it's LinkedIn or perhaps Facebook, the, hey, just reaching out, you know, I'd love to have a virtual coffee with you. And I think, you know, people are really time poor, particularly in lockdown where, yes, perhaps we're not all commuting, but some people, you know, they're caring for kids, trying to homeschool. There might be back-to-back virtual meetings. I think, again, getting back to the be worth referring to, a lame, oh, I just want to get to know about your business, I think you have to have a valid reason for reaching out to people. And, yeah, wanting to get to know them better, it's nice. But, again, with all the tools at our disposal to do desktop research and get a bit of a clue about a prospective referred-in client before you do the outbound type thing, what would be smarter might be something like, you know, and it doesn't even have to be your own research, but if there are three research studies or, you know, with the changes afoot with the family court at the moment, you know, a powerful thing you could do is to synthesize it into a two-pager or something like that and then just say it's family law. You could send that out to some other lawyers who maybe don't practice in family law that are in your, you know, geography and say, hey, if it ever comes up and you're asked about it, here's a cheat sheet on the changes, you know, to the family court, and you've got to be across it anyway if you're a family lawyer, but you've instantly given something valuable and helpful to make another lawyer look smart. And then who's going to be top of mind if one of their small business owner clients is going through a divorce? Oh, well, as it happens, we've got a relationship with, you know, Joe down the road, who's an absolute expert in this area, and I can put you in touch with Joe. So yeah, that's a bit of a, you know, garbled example, but that's the kind of thing that is helpful to people. It's instantly of value. And I think one of the other fundamentals with referrals is you've got to, you know, kind of give something to get something. So, yeah, being generous with your time. And I think, you know, the podcast you run is a great example of that, Brendan, because you're giving me a platform to impart knowledge and to help people, but you're also, you know, helping your audience, and it's a virtuous kind of cycle.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's great for me as well, because you get to, you know, it takes the pressure off me. You can just impart all your wisdom, and I just sit here and listen to it, and then, you know, it makes me look really smart. So I'm okay.
We all win. Yeah, hopefully some of this is useful to someone in the audience. So,
yeah, hopefully.
Life example.
I just have what I'll quickly make one little suggestion about Facebook groups, and then I'm gonna keep the conversation going where you were taking it. So, a few little things popped in my mind. So, Facebook groups. I guess you don't want to hop into a group and then start, you know, spamming your business and annoying people, and you don't want to get deleted and all that stuff. It could go the wrong way and could be difficult to sort of promote your services as a solicitor. Like, ethically, it could look a bit awkward in some situations, depending on what people are talking about in the group. So I would maybe recommend that you make it clear on your Facebook profile, even if it's your personal profile, at least make it clear that you are a lawyer and you have a law firm. I believe on your Facebook profile, you can add a website link that is publicly viewable to people who aren't even your friend. So if you are providing good information on a Facebook group and helping people, you can do that without promoting your services directly. And if you're giving good information, people might be inclined to then go and do a sneaky little stalk of your profile, and they might see, oh, so-and-so is actually a lawyer at this law firm. I might go and check them out. I'd also recommend being in touch with whoever is moderating or whoever the admin is of that group, and just introducing yourself and just sort of clearing up that, you know, what your intentions are, and maybe they can, the moderator can give you some advice on how not to get deleted. That's just some quick advice to anyone, especially people who are maybe starting out at a law firm. And
that's right.
You might need to be on the hustle, and Facebook groups might be a good idea when you're getting started. And it could it could also be a really good way just to do some research. You could actually find out what the hell people are struggling with. So those are just my little thoughts. I'm very happy to go back to where you were taking it. But did you have something to add there?
No, and I think those are all very good points, Brendan. And I think, you know, partly whether it's on or offline, particularly for the smaller law firms and, you know, small business owner operators ourselves, we know partly it's just showing up. You know, if you don't get up in the morning, certain things just don't happen. So, and again, without making it maybe, you know, your central thing or a life's work, if you are going to make forays into these online forums, whether it's a Facebook or a LinkedIn group or just generally having a presence, you know, committing to doing a few minutes, whether it's every day or half an hour each week, and just having that humming in the background, that's a, you know, a further backdrop to perhaps, you know, a phone introduction that you've had. And then, as we were saying as well, if people then Google you and things are coming up, you're well positioned as perhaps maybe it's the family law expert or it's the notary. And yeah, it's showing up and being a little bit deliberate about how you're doing this stuff. You can't, it's not a one-off event. Like, unfortunately, a lot of business development, there's no magic bullet. But yeah, being consistent over time does reap rewards. And it, you know, it's hard some days. But yeah, I think if people were thinking of dipping a toe into this stuff, this pandemic doesn't show any signs of really going away this year. Now is the time to get better at online. And, you know, yeah. Brennan, you've got a ton of resources, like really helpful blogs and downloads for people who do want to start making a foray into this or, you know, book an hour with Brendan. So you can, you know, set it up correctly and then go from there. Because I think whether it's, you know, overtly asking for referrals or, you know, engaging in more online activity, the only guarantee is if you, you know, keep doing the same thing or do nothing, you won't get anything.
100%. Do also just want to quickly recommend that if you are going to make it clear on your Facebook profile that you're a lawyer, and if you're going to make it clear what law firm that is, be careful what you do say on Facebook because you might attract some negative attention. For example, if you do get into some sort of Facebook comment war with someone,
do they call it a flame war?
Yeah. If you get, just be careful. You just don't want it to come back and bite you, because there are some horrible people out there that might get annoyed with you if you don't share their views on vaccinations or something, and then they might decide to find you on Google and give you a bad review. So that's always a possibility. So just be careful what you do say. Maybe just stay out of Facebook wars in general.
Yeah. And so, look, I think another good point to raise is most of us don't like asking for referrals. And I think, yeah, there's the extreme, as you were saying, Brendan, the cringy people that are kind of constantly at you wanting to catch up, you know, purposeless, kind of pointless meetings. So I think, you know, partly it's practice. There's a resource that we'll share on the page for this pod. The resource document we've got, it's actually got some actual scripts that you can try in different ways. And you can adapt them in ways that are comfortable for you. But again, getting back to that point, if we're not deliberate and we're not actually asking at appropriate times with our network, then we're guaranteed not to get anything. And I think another thing, particularly with the smaller firms where you're very central to everything and you're constantly kind of busy, you know, working, you know, in your business, delivering legal services, sometimes without meaning to, a lot of lawyers can inadvertently kind of send signals like everything's fine, I'm really busy, I'm too busy. Whereas I think we all know as business owners, you do need that pipeline of work coming up, you know, particularly if you're in a more transactional kind of space. Where you don't necessarily have that ongoing stream of work from a single client. You need to have new clients coming through the door constantly. So, yeah, it's just being careful not to accidentally send the message, you know, too busy, not interested, because often when you start having conversations with some of maybe your best clients, you can say things like, I'm thinking of growing this part of my practice. Have you got any advice? You know, where do you see other people like yourself that might need assistance with similar things? And it's that weird psychological thing. Most people actually quite like being asked the favour. And, you know, not everyone's going to be open to discussing that or interested. But I think, you know, you'll be able to pick your moment, pick the right people in your network to start asking this sort of stuff. And, yeah, again, it's about a deliberate practice.
So, okay, So how do we ask without begging or being irritating and annoying other people? What are some sort of practical tips?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is timing it. Mm. So with maybe a more of a commercial type client, a transactional sort of matter, or even, you know, if you've done a piece of litigation for someone, you know, once that matter is wrapping up and concluding, that might be the nice avenue in to say, you know, would you consider leaving us a Google review? And also, we're thinking of growing this area. You know, can you think of any other, you know, people that we can help, or where do you see opportunities? And again, it's people like being asked their opinion, but I think you do have to be a bit judicious in, you know, when you ask and how you ask it. And that's a bit of a discretionary judgment thing. I personally am not a fan, as we've been saying, of that blanket, I'm just going to spam basically all of my LinkedIn connections. I think that's cold. I think it's a hard sell. I think most lawyers do not like that. It is not natural or comfortable for them. I think lawyers like helping people. So if you think of what you're doing is asking for ways you can help more people, I think that's something that, yeah, you can do with confidence. And again, it's practice. Not avoiding, not hoping for the phone to ring.
Are many lawyers actually sending out messages to people they don't really know on LinkedIn asking for work, or is that something that like digital marketers are mostly doing? Because I know that.
I feel like that's something salesy people might encourage. And I just think delete. I don't have time. And it's possible they could help me or have something of interest, but they're making me try to work out what it is they can offer. And I'm sort of over detective stories, you know, save the intrigue for your novel. So again, it's that idea that, you know, maybe you've got a cheat sheet, or you've, synthesized some of the latest research and prepared a summary, or you've got a cool little technology tool that's free on your website, something like that, something that is actually relevant and useful. But the more clarity around why you're worth referring to for X, and the more specific parameters you can put around it, that will help you stand out. Because I think a lot of lawyers, maybe not a lot, but some lawyers in my experience cannot bear to turn down work and say, oh yeah, I can do a will for you. And look, they probably could, but because it's not their specialty, it's not a good fit for them, it's not efficient, it's not profitable for them. I think don't be frightened to have a clear-cut niche or position, because, you know, I think an analogy I like to use is, you know, if you've got a BMW, do you want to go down to the panel beater that specializes in all makes and all models, or do you want to take it to BMW to get fixed? I think, you know, it's tricky if you are more of a general practice type lawyer, but yeah, something that you can hang a hat on, a hook that stands out and says, yeah, we do migration law for, you know, the Chinese community or something like that, you will pick up other work as well, because once they're in for something, depending what you do, you can maybe cross-sell. So another good way to get referrals, and it's probably fairly obvious and I think it's pretty common practice, my mum sold her house a couple of years ago, and the firm that did the conveyancing had a little survey at the end of the matter, and they flagged up, you know, one, is there any other family and friends of yours that we can help, you know, sell their property? And two, now that your circumstances have changed, do you need help with a will, updating your will? So it's a low-key cross-sell. My mother wasn't particularly ready to look at any of that stuff and didn't have anything to immediately refer, but it certainly planted the seed in her head that they were open for business, interested in referrals, and she had a very good experience with that firm. So hands down, it might not come for 2 or 3 years, but my mum, would she recommend that conveyancing and wills and estate firm? You bet. Mm. So, you know, I think it's a long game. And again, it's about showing up, being consistent, being top of mind, because the other thing to remember is, you know, people aren't on the spot maybe going to have something to refer. They might say, oh, I'd need to think about it. Can you give, you know, I want to give a measured response here, or I'll think about opportunities, or can I get back to you? Other times you might hit the jackpot and they say, yes, actually. My brother-in-law needs some, you know, business structuring advice. I think it's one of those, you know, it's like the Pantene thing. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. Again, if you're deliberate and consistent with it.
So I'm very tempted to just use that little shampoo thing as the teaser to this podcast.
Is it trademarked?
Because I've been starting the podcast episodes with a short little teaser at the start, and I'm like, I'm so tempted to use that, but I don't know.
Is it trademarked? I don't know. Maybe a lawyer can help us.
yeah. I don't know. I don't want the podcast to get deleted. So yeah, who knows? Yeah. But anyway, tempting. Yeah. So it's definitely a good idea to try and generate ongoing work with those existing clients that you've got. It's worked well for my business, Legal Sites. Mm. I can't imagine being on the hustle as purely a web designer. That'd be exhausting, because then it's all transactional. I know a lot of web designers out there that don't even offer hosting. Most of my revenue is actually monthly, ongoing stuff that I have, because I'm providing marketing services for most of my clients. So, I don't know if I'd sleep much at night if I had to sort of sell a quota of new websites every month. I think that'd be exhausting. So, works well to generate more work out of your existing relationship. So much easier, so much less time is invested in that than, like, when you're trying to get a new client. Oh, man, sometimes you've really got to overcome some hurdles, especially in my industry, where there's just so many idiots out there who are doing the wrong thing.
Cowboys.
That's one of the reasons. I know. Digital marketers are probably the worst or one of the worst when it comes to just doing a crap job.
And you see the $99 websites, and I just think, how on earth can you get something, a good result for that kind of money?
Well, the answer is you probably can't.
You won't.
Probably most definitely won't. Yeah, that's the. You're talking about the conveyancer and offering the wills and all of that. So, on your document that you sent me, you had some interesting points, and one of them was where most referrals come from. And I think you listed clients or previous clients as the number one source. Is that still correct?
Yeah. So I think, and again, it's something we probably all know that, you're happy either, you know, former or current clients are usually your best, easiest source, because they've got the direct experience of, you know, how fantastic you are to work with and what a great result you achieve for them. And I think depending what space you play in, whether you're more business facing or you're more personal legal services facing, some of the other classic likely fruitful sources of referrals for the consumer facing side of legal work, it's family and friends of those clients. So again, that example where the conveyancing firm that my mother used, they outright said on their survey, "Do you have anyone else that you can think of that you'd be happy to introduce us to?" Basically. And then, you know, most of us are involved in our community in some way. So another really good source might be, and again, it's without annoying or, you know, being too salesy about it, but, you know, you might be involved in a church group, sporting group, those sorts of things. And then you've got your other kind of professional advisors. So I know a lot of law firms have quite fruitful and long-term, maybe even formal arrangements with accounting firms or financial planners where they cross-refer to each other. Mm. And, you know, you work alongside their other external advisor. And then you've also got things depending, again, you know, if you say in the property side, you've got real estate agents who have the power to recommend you, mortgage brokers, insurance brokers. So I think if most firms sat down to write it out, you'd have quite a few channels. And that playbook that we mentioned actually has an exercise where you can sort of divide it into maybe three groups. And so you think about, current clients and list five of them that you'd like to approach and ask. Then the second type of client would be other professionals. So that might be other law firms who maybe don't do medical negligence, but you do, and they might, you might be able to refer to each other. And then the third group would be, you know, things like old university friends that are maybe working at a law firm now, or yeah, someone from the community that you're acquainted with, who maybe moves in, you know, a business association that you're not networked into yet, but they can make an introduction. So yeah, I think once you start jotting it down and thinking through it, there are lots of avenues that are potentially untapped because you've never deliberately asked before. So I think those are perhaps, you know, an exercise worth pursuing during lockdown. And then, you know, if we have shortlisted, you know, say 15 contacts, what on earth are we going to say to these people? And it might be different for the different networks. But, yeah, I would encourage your listeners to think about doing something in a more planned, deliberate way. And it, you know, might start out a bit ad hoc. But certainly the research that we did showed a lot of firms, even if it was just in an Excel spreadsheet, were tracking in and outbound referrals and also the value of the referrals. So I think there'd been some that they'd been cozying up to that had never really led to anything. And that includes things like a lot of sort of maybe more medium-sized firms are often part of a paid network, like a law alliance type thing, and it might be an international one. And I think some of those I've seen work quite well for referrals. Others, it has, the feedback I've received from clients I've dealt with that are in those, it's been more of a one-way street where they've been generously referring work interstate and it hasn't been reciprocated. So I think, you know, that's another important thing, as well as looking after the actual clients you do have, is looking after your referral network. And it was quite shocking in our research, 50% of the respondents said that their firm didn't particularly thank referral sources. And I was like, wow, it's just basic manners. And then, you know, we really looked, but is there a chance they've misunderstood what was asked? But no, 50% of firms said they didn't particularly, you know, do anything to thank. And that even included things like, you know, a thank you card or an email. So whereas some of them were doing, you know, things which we can't do at the moment, of course, but a thank you lunch or dinner, a reciprocal referral if possible. And again, you're not always going to have something immediate to refer back, or suitable, you know, and then other thank you ideas were things like a donation to a charity, gift baskets, which have been quite popular during COVID. And then it's a thing I would stay away from, and we certainly do in our business, but some people do have paid referral arrangements. I think you just need to be a bit careful with that as a business person and also as a lawyer. Anything that's a paid commission type basis, you don't want to run afoul of any legislation or regulations in that regard. And I think sometimes with those relationships, people will say, well, I was, you know, likely to proceed with that prospective client anyway. I'm not paying an introduction fee or a kickback. So, yeah, I would probably stay away from that. It should, you know, hopefully you're referring because you think that firm is worth referring to or that lawyer is worth referring to, not because you're paid to do it. It's an independent thing based on your perception of that firm's expertise and good fit for helping that client, not because there's money changing hands. So,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. So once you, actually I had a little thing I wanted to say. So what do you do if you find out someone's bludging off you, getting a lot of referrals and not reciprocating? Do you call them up and tell them they've been deleted?
Yeah.
obviously.
That's an interesting one. And I think, yeah, you know, I think, we've sort of done things in the past with complementary providers. So again, that idea of maybe it's like an accounting firm and a law firm. And I think if there is a more of a synergy and you can see that like we want to exclusively kind of refer to each other, I think a sensible thing without making it war and peace might be to have some kind of agreement that sets out the ground rules. And I think, again, some kind of measurement system, even if it is just a spreadsheet, is just to track maybe quarterly, if it is becoming a one-way street, it may just be, you know, they don't understand what they can refer to you, and they might not realize that's an opportunity to mention, oh, we work very closely with a law firm that can actually help with that issue. So partly it might be that you haven't done a good enough job educating about the specific things you want referred in. But yeah, look, if the return on investment isn't there, you know, flogging a dead horse is never great. So that might be time to cast around, maybe have a come to Jesus kind of meeting, and you know, sever ties nicely, of course. But yeah, I think you've got to pick your partners in that sort of more formalized referral situation quite carefully. And partly it's a suck it and see type thing where you might think that there's potential there, but it might just never come to pass because, as we know, it's hard. And like we're saying, people don't instantly always have something to refer either. It does take time.
Yeah, so. And be clear about what you actually offer people. You know, if you want, if you do want to receive referrals from someone else, yeah, maybe be really clear about.
Yeah, and I think we've probably all had it where someone has meant very well and referred someone, and you're thinking, groan, this is not a client I want for whatever reason. It's not the right fit. It's not the right type of work. So, you know, don't be too harsh if they've misdirected a referral, you know, still thank them, but yeah, you know, maybe as they say, it's a teachable moment where you can say, you know, it was great to receive Doreen in, but we're not really looking for Doreens. We're looking more for blah. But I've, you know, been able to manage it. So, you know, thanks, but no thanks for the future.
Yeah.
Be gracious.
Yeah. One of the, we'll wrap up soon so we can, get on with the day. But one of the things that I noticed was on your document, a tip was to have like a page on your website where you've got, you know, some of your VIPs, some of the people that you recommend frequently. And I actually think that's really good because that's something that I recommend to some of my clients for marketing purposes, because it can be a good way to get links. So if you have a page on your website where you've got some, you know, an accountant that you recognize, for example, you might be able to hit them up and go, hey, I've got this page, I've added you. Would you consider having a similar page on your own website? And if we link back to each other, it can be good for SEO. And, you know,
that's right, because it's all about those links, isn't it?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I thought that was great. And and if someone says, nah, bugger off, we don't want to link back to you, we'll, you know, screw them.
Keep looking.
Yeah.
Exactly. Find another, you know, entity that is open to that. And I think, you know, it's mutually beneficial. And a lot of firms might have that as, you know, our partners, our recommended partners or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I've seen firms do on websites is actually have a section where if it's an inbound referral, it's like, oh, I don't have time to ring up, but I've been told to refer, you know, I believe this law firm is going to be a good fit. I met the bloke once. You can have a form on your website that enables a referrer to, you know, pop in some details quickly and shoot you an email that says, you know, Jody over at the financial services provider wants to refer in a client. Have you got time to talk this Wednesday? And she'll make the intro. Cool. So, yeah, all these tools are at our disposal.
Great. Well, I'm sure we could talk forever about referring, but probably should wrap it up. So I think, you know, most people spend about 30 to 45 minutes walking the dog. So I think we've gotten to about that point now. So, Amy, how can people find you? Any final words while you're on the Better Law Firm Marketing Podcast?
Yeah, look me up on LinkedIn. The other thing I would recommend is if we could tootle our own website. We've got a lot of good articles, very relevant to law firm business development, and some of the stuff Brennan talks about as well. And we've also got some free downloadable things like the referral playbook, and also there's a copy available of the research study into referrals. And we also touched on internal referrals, which is cross-selling, how to other law firms doing the cross-selling thing. So I think they're, you know, available, and I would love more people to, you know, read and learn from them.
Sounds great. All right, everyone. So go and check out Amy. We've got some links in the episode notes. There'll be some, all those things I talked about earlier at the start of the podcast, they're still in the episode notes. So if you need the law firm marketing plan, the coaching call, there's the affiliate links as well for products and services that I use. And if you just want to make my day, maybe consider leaving a review. A 5-star review would be ideal on Apple Podcasts, and subscribe so you don't miss out. But that's enough for that. So until next time, I'm Brendan Kelso, and you've been listening to Better Law Firm Marketing. All right, bye for now.